I know you are backsliding. God, who I serve with all my heart, knows if I bring the matter up to him in prayer, he knows I know he will punish me. So I won't even pray about it. There are things I can't pray about. Say, Lord, they saw my destiny in a pot. Boah! That's what I will hear. Thank you. What did you say? Say, Lord, I was just saying, twinkle, twinkle, little star. How I wonder what you are. Because there are prayer points you bring to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll be like, are you on tramadol? What is going on with you? It's because we think that those people have prayer. That's how we pray those prayers. Say, today you will come out of witchcraft pot. I said, if this one I'm inside is witchcraft pot, Lord, thank you for being a witch, because I can only be in the Christ pot. Yes. I don't pray some of those prayers because I'm not afraid of any of those powers. Why should I be? I can't. Say, no witch will get me. I say, if you can't, try now. You say you're a witch, come. Like I always say, if you jump my fence and you don't, it's one of two things. Either you will die or you give your life to Christ. But if you can enter the compound, you are not a witch. You are a friend. And I'm not joking about it. Never for one moment in my life made those things prayer points. My destiny cannot be held by any human being. You know why? Because I'm in Christ. If you are in Christ, the same is your portion. Does it mean you don't have problems? No, let me start with that. You can have problems. Yes, you can have problems. You can have problems. There are three reasons Christians have problems. Three reasons. Three. I've been preaching this for a long time, and I've not found the fourth one. One, ignorance is the first reason Christians have problems. They don't know what God has done for them in Christ Jesus. They don't know they too, they are in a cult, so they are afraid of cults. They don't know they have a power working with them that is greater than the one working in the world. They don't know that. These are the things that they do not know. And for that reason, they are afraid. Ignorance is the first reason why Christians have problems. Because in life, you have to take your stand against the devil. In life, you have to put your foot down and say, Satan, no. Sometimes, like, you know, people every day, they're always going up and down, trying to do medical checkup, looking for a disease that's not worrying them. How many of you have heard of daily aspirin for the elderly? Daily aspirin. They have all kinds of names. Yes. A report was now released last week that it does more harm than good if you are not sick. That for elderly people to be taking aspirin on a daily basis, who have not had what we call myocardial infarction, that is, what is not common here, but abroad, is the most common cause of their own heart attacks. Okay? Heart attack there. And then stroke. We have a bit of stroke here. He said, if you have not had any of that, to be taking daily aspirin, it does more harm to you than good. The medical report was released just about 2 weeks ago. So I told my friend, when I read the report, I forwarded to my friend in the United States. He's a doctor there. I said, oh boy. You know, he replied, he said, thank God they have now clarified it. I said, I have never believed in treating people who are not sick. I mean, sometimes people are going around. I tell them, look, why don't you believe that God is helping you in Christ Jesus? I say to people, old age is not a disease. If you believe that it's a disease, it will become a disease for you. Yes. I say, you know, I'm getting older now, so I'm beginning to forget. If you keep on saying that, eventually your brain will shrink. Ignorance is a major cause of problems for believers. That's number one. Being unaware, just like I've been teaching now, many people have been praying against witches all the time. Remember the story I told yesterday of the hypothetical young man who stopped giving money to his mother and his auntie because he's afraid that they can use that to hurt him, thereby removing the blessing of God in honoring the father and the mother, because the commandment like that. Islam now goes out in the time of darkness and he says, I have problems. Why won't you have problems? You have problems simply because your lamb has gone out in the time of darkness because you disobeyed God. Now, why did you disobey him? Somebody lied to you. Many people are missing the blessing in generosity because there's blessing in generosity. There is. Why are they missing it? Because they are afraid. If you go to the village and give them money, now they take the money to the cult. So, they can take it anywhere. How would it affect me? My life is still hidden with Christ and God. You're getting the point I'm making. So, you see, ignorance can cause problems. Serious problems. If we don't know the truth, it can make us take actions that will cause problems. So there's blessing generosity. I have my blessing. I have it all the time. Because any time I have to be generous, I am free to be generous. I'm not afraid anybody will take my money anywhere. Sometimes ignorance is terrible. People, instead of solving their problems, they are quick to blame other people. Most people that have financial problems, majority of those that have financial problems, it is simply because of bad management. Pure bad management. The Bible says, know the condition of your flock. There's a reason why I said that. In Proverbs 27. Why? Riches are not forever, he says. So God has given it to you to guard and keep. You have a business, you must know the condition of your business. Many people are here now, you are businessmen. Which month are we in? If I ask a lot of people here now, who are business people, men and women, what has been your total turnover from January to September? They have no idea. Don't put up your hand though. Just know it by yourself that you don't have any idea. What is your running cost on a monthly basis? No idea. They have no idea. What is your own, pay? Because you work for that business. But the madam will just come and say, it's children's school fees time. You just take money they sold that day, carry, and they'll go and pay school fees. Then one supplier will come. Please, the last week we supplied you so-and-so. We want to collect our money. And there's no money now. How can there be money? Just give the money to the person paying school fees. Come next week. Before he comes next week, the carpenter doing your roof comes. You open, give him also. So the man comes. Where's my money? He says, I told you to come. Hey, you said next week. It's not Tuesday. Should I come on Monday? So meeting your obligation is now first come, first served. School fees that they gave you notice 3 months ago. When those children went on holiday, you knew they were coming back to school, didn't you? You didn't make any preparation for them. Just wake up and say, there's no money. At the end of the day, the supplier stops supplying. Somebody drags you to court. You are paying lawyer now. After some time, you wake up in the morning, there's pressure on your soul. And then because you are a juju man yourself, you now say that witches are worrying me. The only thing that is worrying you is indiscipline, lack of planning. You don't know the condition of your flock. You don't know the condition of your flock. If you knew, you wouldn't have bought that phone. What are you doing with the expensive phone? If you knew, you probably not started, you not started working on that house yet. You just know that the time is not yet. My financial flow is not big enough yet to carry that capacity of a project. I will leave it for some time while I build up my income. But because you just saw money, 5 million naira, as you have never seen 10,000 before, the first day you saw 5 million naira, you think that is God. So you think that 5 million should buy a car, build a house, send you abroad, do everything. And the 5 million, I say, me, small me. And by the time, of course, you start issuing money everywhere. By the time you do that for 2 months, you are owing in many places. There are many people that, do you know the reason why they have problems now? God gave them some money. Because when he didn't have that money, he didn't go and buy land. He didn't start a foundation. But one day, God just dashed him small money. 7 million naira. He said, He doesn't know that foundation, you may not see it, but it chops money. It gives a bill that 1 million. That one comes and says, bring another 1 million. So what do you do with my money? And your foundation is not even complete. Okay, how can 1 million complete this kind of foundation? Then by the time he finished spending that 7 million naira, he has not done German floor. Because remember, I bought a car. Did I tell you about that one? By the time he finishes doing everything, he's now owing people. You know, when God didn't give him that money, he wasn't owing anybody. He was paying his landlord. There was no trouble. He was taking his keke up and down. There was no trouble. Take a peace mask when he wants to travel. No trouble. He never owed anybody. But small money God gave him, now is in distress. Why? He put his fingers in projects far bigger than him. He's now going to church, now sowing seed for miraculous deliverance from financial trouble. But if I give you more money, you will enter more trouble. So I'm going to leave you there so I keep you in check. 5 years is going from one church to the other. In his depression, that time that your mother is the problem. How much is he, out of that 7 million, how much did he give the mother? 50,000. How can she be the problem? So she carried it to the coven. That's stop that nonsense. That's why you will soon die. That was not supposed to be a joke. That's the warning. Ignorance is number one reason why Christians have problems. Number two reasons why they have problems is because what the Bible calls it, just recompense of reward for disobedience. We'll see examples in a while. There are things that are wrong No matter how much grace and mercy we have, God does not allow us to do that which is wrong. If you're a businessman, your business, you have a different set of rules, codes that you operate by, different from the people of the world. It must have. It must have. No matter how much selling a particular way makes money, you can't do it. A lot of filling stations rig their pumps. Just a little bit. A little bit in eventually 1 million liters comes a lot of money. No matter how much they make and you don't make, you are not allowed even for one moment to envy them. Go and read that. Is it Psalm 37 or 34 now? Anyway, just go and read both Psalms. Both of them are blessed. So you are not allowed to envy the man that prospers in his evil ways. Don't say, he has bought a car. So, he has bought trouble. If you do what is wrong, you will suffer it. I have found out. And that's why I'm hoping later on this year, I will do a small couple seminar. Most problems in families is not in-laws. Please read my book, Should I Say Yes? It's not for those who are single. That title, if it's now, I would have chosen another title. Many people thought the book was written for single people. No. That title just to indicate that it's about marriage. Half is for those who are not married. The other half is for those, it's about marriage. Everything is for everybody. Half is how to make a choice. The second half is how to run a married life. If you have not married, you should know both. If you are married, you should know the second half most importantly, and have the first, know the first half to help other people. But in the book, I describe a lot of things. For example, you heard of in-law troubles. I have never believed that in-laws can make trouble in any family. I have never believed it. In-law, they can't. How can they? If there's a problem between you and your in-law, then you and your husband or you and your wife, you are the problem. I'm not discussing that now. I don't have time. They can't make trouble. Did you not read that the Bible says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife? If two of you will practice that, you won't have trouble. He said, but he didn't say the woman will leave. He assumes the woman will leave. Why? Because the woman was given in marriage. The woman was given out. But he said, he told the man, after you have collected your wife, you will now leave father and mother and go away. Now that leaving process, many people don't operate it. Sometimes their father is rich. Their mother is rich. So because they don't want to, they don't want to leave. So that's why they can harass your wife. She has not delivered a boy yet. So you are the trouble. Not your in-laws. I mean, not your father, not your mother. You can't be coming to tell me. I always tell people, if my mother tells my wife something and I let it fly and it disturbs my wife, it's because I wanted to tell her and I couldn't tell her myself. So I got my mother to say it. Don't have time to, we're not teaching that in details now. Many times people do what is wrong. They break principles. And if they have trouble, they now say somebody is pursuing me. There are precepts in life. There are precepts for everything we do. If we don't obey divine precepts, we will have trouble. No matter how much you believe in grace. I hope you don't believe that rubbish grace teaching some people have. Grace covers all their sins. No, it doesn't. Grace is the empowerment to do right. Not the excuse for continuing iniquity. Grace means that if, because of flesh, people will fall for this sin. Grace means, I will get there, I won't fall for it. I'll walk past and see there's nothing there. That's the meaning of grace. It doesn't mean that God blesses disobedience in Christians. If we continue in disobedience, we will continually reap what the Bible calls the just recompense of reward. That's the second reason Christians have problems. This is the third reason. This is what the Bible calls the trial of faith. Sometimes, having done all, you just have to learn to stand. Stand therefore, the Bible says. Sometimes, you've done everything that is right. Things are not working correctly. You continue to pray. What the Bible is just saying is this. You are under pressure. It says, count it all joy when you fall into such times. To diverse trials, James was saying in chapter 1. So because the trial of your faith is working out what? Patience. And patience is important. One of the things we learned those days in faith was impatience. You know one of the ways we said it? You say, it's a God of now, now, now. We even wrote messages, faith is now. Faith is now. The major thing we were teaching was impatience. Yeah, we're teaching impatience. We're teaching people that you can't wait for God. We're teaching people that if you believe God for something, if you don't get it now, it means that your faith did not work. Go and start again. Go and look. No. Sometimes life has a process. Even the, it's not everybody that Jesus healed that they got well immediately. You know that? There's a woman, there's a man that was blind. He put clay on his eyes. That Jesus finished touching him, yet the man was not seen. What did he say to him? Go to the... So, that man's healing, the manifestation was delayed for as long as it took him to get to that place and wash. That's a process. There was a man that Jesus healed. He prayed for him. He said, what do you see? He said, do you see? He said, yeah, I see. I see all trees moving about. He said, the trees don't move. Okay, sorry, they are men. I see men, they look like trees. He says, okay, let's do it again. There was a process. And Jesus had a lot of anointing. Sometimes our faith may not even be as powerful as that. So that process that Jesus completed in a few minutes may take us a few weeks. It may take us a few months. I personally have testimonies. Many people have testimonies I can start sharing with you, but time will not allow us. Of people that got healed after months. They prayed and they began to maintain their confession. They prayed and they began to focus on God's word. And it took 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 7 weeks. One of my brothers took a whole year. And because in his case, I told him the alternative we have, the way doctors will go about this will take us a long time. Let's give God some time. Months, but he got well, 100%. Was I preaching, God is now, God is now, God is now. And God did it, even with saying he didn't know what we meant. Most preachers who preach it only copy from other preachers. Does God answer immediately? Yes, he does. But the manifestation is not always immediate. You ask God, prosper me, doesn't mean tomorrow somebody will just be driving by. Say, hey, from Dangote, wow, $1 million on your doorstep. You won't see that. Very unlikely. It may just be you have an idea. Next thing you go and buy beans. You blend it. You make akara. You sell it. Do you understand? Next thing, you start doing things little by little. This, that. You start doing this, you start doing that. Then 5 years later, 10 years later, you're a multimillionaire. You start telling stories. The first bag of beans you bought. You start telling stories. The first one you did. It took you 10 years to become a multimillionaire. But God kept on making you advance on a daily basis. You were making progress. Before, you were only worried about what you will eat. But now, you are feeding 15 people, 20 people. There are 20 families that are now feeding because you have prospered over these 10 years. But it did not happen in one day. Impatience was what we learned a lot of time, what we call faith. It was not faith. So what I'm trying to say is this. That's the third reason. So I'm having problems. It doesn't mean that God didn't answer me. But I'm making steady progress now. It starts small, but it keeps increasing. Please, I hope you're getting the thing I'm trying to say here. All my problems are not solved in one day. Sometimes, you know why God doesn't solve problems in one day? There are times he wants us to enjoy the suffering. I didn't say endure. Most sufferings are what? Endured. But there are times God says, enjoy this one. I've seen people before. You go and buy something you absolutely can't afford. But you have bought it. Maybe it's supposed to cost 5 million naira. You have gone to deposit. Okay, you borrowed 5 million and you bought it. Now you are paying interest in the bank on 5 million. Now you're in distress. You now go and pray to God. God will just look and say, no problem. I've heard you. Say, but Lord, I'm still in trouble. He said, yes, sir. That trouble, you enjoy it for 2 years. You will suffer. You will trek. You will sell your car. And he wants you to do it too. Your landlord will threaten you. God will be standing with your landlord. When you see God, your landlord, like you see God beside him. One angel will do you. Say, Lord, why are you doing this to me? He said, so you will never do it again. He said, if I solve it, I know you, I know your heart. I know you more than you know yourself. Tomorrow you borrow 10 million to buy something, knowing that the Lord will deliver you. So I will leave you in this suffering for 2 straight years. But at the end of the 2nd year, you will understand discipline. You will understand patience. You will understand that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. It will take me 2 years. 2 years you will be suffering. There's a job you resigned. When God said, go and say sorry. He said, no, I can't take nonsense. God said, fine. Resign. You thought you'd get another job. God closed all doors. After two months, you started praying. The first 2 months, you were not praying. You were sure the jobs were waiting. After 2 months, you started praying. And the Lord says, okay, that's good though. You have resigned, eh? Didn't you hear my spirit telling you that time to just go and apologize and go back to work? But you felt too big. Say, Lord, I'm sorry, I won't do it again. Say, I have heard you. So where's my job? Wait. When he says wait, he's not joking. Third month, wait. First year, wait. Second year, the answer is wait. How you will know it is God is that he'll be giving you food small, small. You go to eat. But you won't buy anything new. No new blouse, no new. Look, you will downgrade your makeup. Shape before now, Mary Kay they use. Now you go buy Mary Kay with double R and double K. Those ones they sell in the market that they have gone to pack it from somewhere. Other than that, people just see that you have joined deeper life. It's poverty. Now say, ah, sister, you don't wear makeup again. Say, these things of this world. Why won't it be things of this world when you can't pay? I know God knows how to squeeze people. And one day you'll be broke. Say, Lord, help me now. God will say, look at it. What is it? Your best gold necklace is there. But that's it. That's the help. See, my brother came to me looking for money for something. I can't even help him. God said, that is the help. What? That gold necklace, you know, you paid for it for 6 months. God said, you will sell it in 6 hours. When your brother tells you, say, I'm at the park. Ah! You go, look. Then at that point in time, a friend of yours that deals in gold, not sure. Say, do you like this one? Ah, yes, sir. You want to sell it? You say, ah, you sell it though. How much? I can give you 45,000 for it. And your brother is coming for 35,000. You go, look. You bought it for 60. She'll count 45,000 and give you cash. Your brother will enter 5 minutes after. You will give him the 30K, 35K. You have 10K. Oxygen for another 1 month. God will deplete you. You go, look yourself. There will be no comeliness around you. When you go and cut your hair, they say it's fashion. They think it's fashion. It's not fashion. It's God slimming you down. You go and cut your hair, you put oil in it, you know, blow it a bit. Why? Because it's the cheaper way to go. This one, and I just comb and ororo. Once you just put small ororo in the morning, comb it. And you'll be looking nice. They won't know what's going on in your soul. After 2 years and 3 months of suffering like this, God will now give you another job. Or in that process, there's another one he can do. You, that brother that wanted to marry you, doing shakai at that time. He will propose again. Poverty will allow you to agree. You always liked him, but because you had more money than him, you were doing shakara. He now comes, Auntie Angie, how now? Ah, my brother, long time. Say, don't even ask after me again. And he's thinking, me? No, I ask after you. I'm the one that don't pick my calls now. I don't pick your calls. Oh, you did change your number. Your mind. Ah, look at this handsome man. How could I have done this to him? Now, no makeup, no cut, everything. You are ready for the will of God. After he takes you out a few times, buys a few things, he returns his proposal. You will get a job 1 month after your honeymoon. You will know it's God. God has a way of squeezing his children that he loves. He will squeeze you. He could have answered this. He said, no, this girl, she won't learn. If I got another job, she'll become more haughty. Her pride will increase. Let me humble her until she's well humblified. That is the third reason Christians have problems. It's called the trial of faith. You are believing God. God says, I've heard you. Just stay there. My people, I don't know a fourth reason. Witches are not one of the reasons. They are not. I was really quoting for us yesterday from Tozer. And Tozer made a number of statements. Let me see whether I can quickly get to some of them again. He said, Jacob was to learn that the way God conquers our enemies is to conquer us. Did you hear that? That when God conquers you, your enemies are conquered. He made it very clear that all problems
are solved only by spiritual solution. And I'm looking for one particular one. He said, our visible enemies are really our enemies. Okay, listen to this. He said, if we get our inward life fixed up, our outward enemies will be helpless. I hope you're getting my point here. Listen, God can take care of all problems. Nobody knows which is his problem. The only issue he has is us. We are the cause of our own troubles. And that's why I want to look at the real enemies of destiny. I think I've solved that one. That is the issue of what can be the cause of problems in the life of a believer. Now, I want to explain some things. Yesterday, I said something that our destiny is the will of God. It's not what the world has set for us. Our destiny is the will of God. People talk about destiny sometimes. What they are thinking of, when will I become rich like some of these big men around? That's what they are calling destiny. But I want you to understand again, that's not what destiny is. Destiny, let's use the proper word, predestination, is what God ordained for you to be. I hope you're getting my point here. It is what God ordained for you to be. Now, I want you to understand something. The plan of God is always good. The plan of God is always good. It's far better than you can ever imagine. It is the place of fulfillment. For time's sake, I'll just rush over some of these statements. Your destiny is the place where you have fulfillment. It's not where you'll be as rich as Innocent. It's not where you'll be as rich as Dangote. Or when you become Nigerian president. No. Or governor of your state. Everybody has an assignment from God. One of the reasons why we have problems in life is that we map our lives by other people's agenda. I hope you're getting my point. Some people say that at this age, your friend has done this. Your friend and you are not running the same race. Jesus did not manifest until he was 30 years of age. You know that? You know one important man that was his age? John the Baptist. They were 6 months apart in age. Remember that? They were cousins. You know when John the Baptist began to manifest? In the mother's womb. In the mother's womb, he was already kicking. When mommy would tell the lie, give her a kick. Come on, stop saying that. The Bible says she was filled with the Spirit from there. She could hear. He could hear some things that they were doing outside. What's the name of the father again? Zechariah. Elizabeth. Yes, honey. Hurry, I'm almost ready. And you never bath. You've not had a bath, so the baby will kick like this. How can you say you're almost ready? Hurry, I'm waiting. I'm almost there. Kick again. Mommy, you're about to enter the bathroom. After a while, the woman learned not to tell any lie. Elizabeth, I'm waiting. Please go ahead. Go on ahead of me. I will be another 1 hour. Yes, 1 hour before you start kicking me. From his mother's womb, he was manifesting. As a little boy, everybody knew this troublemaker in the society. They all did. By the time he was in his teens, he was gathering people in the wilderness. He was baptizing when they were still telling Jesus, this is 2x4. This is 2x2. Measure it here. Mark it here. Cut it like this. When Jesus was building table and chair, the mount, they said, look at your, assuming it's today now, both of you are called to ministry. At the age of 18, John had a church of 15,000 people. By the time he was 25, each crusade, they will have 1 million. Hallelujah. Today, I'm going to teach the keys on guarding 500,000 in crusade, like John the Baptist. That's how all of us went to South Korea, how to go and build the biggest churches. If you're a pastor here, you probably read books like that. The keys to South Korea having 1 million member church. You tried it for 8 years. You gathered 8 people extra. You didn't. God didn't have to talk to you. You abandoned the project by yourself. You are using South Korean mentality to run Nigerian ministry. Okay. 1 million people. You said they try. They dream dreams that God did not give you. Dreams of other human beings. You took the agenda of people. As if the number of crowd, the amount of crowd you have in your church is a sign of success. Looking for all kinds of methods to increase the number. Because you are running somebody else's agenda. At the age of 25, Jesus had no congregation. At the age of 30, John was massive in ministry. Everybody knew John. The government used to send people to John. The big establishment will send people to John. Are you the one to come, or we should expect another? He had no fear of anybody. He was speaking against government, which got him beheaded, but he was speaking against government. How can Buhari do this? And you to go and start your ministry. You want to say, okay, how did John gather his crowd? He was speaking politics. So you go and buy a megaphone. You before you finish talking against local government chairman, they have assassinated you. You didn't even manage to talk against Willie. It's just your local government chairman. Your life was over. Why? You want to be John the Baptist? You don't know, John is running a race that doesn't concern you. All the while, Jesus was going about his own JJ. And of course, you know the story. John said, he must increase. I must decrease. As soon as Jesus came in, John began to decrease. The biggest members of the ministry, they left. Peter left. John left. James, all of them, they were there before. They were the ones baptizing with him. They will help John. They were not in full-time ministry, but they were always with him. They were his disciples. As soon as he said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the whole world. Peter said, John, follow me. That's the other John, not John the Baptist himself. They ran after him. Master, where's your house? Where do you stay? From there, they start following John. Started following Jesus Christ. On the spot. I hope you're getting my point. And then shortly after, the ministry of John ended. His ministry did not end because he criticized government. His ministry ended because God said it must not run parallel with that of Jesus Christ. Until he was taken into custody, Jesus did not preach. He did not baptize. It was John, James, Peter, and co. that were doing the things that they used to do with John the Baptist. So sometimes, that's the problem we have. We are having what we are calling destiny problems is simply comparing with somebody else. And please bear it in mind, the age at which one person did something is not the age at which you will do it. Jesus began his ministry at the age of 30. It lasted for just a little over 3 years, but the impact is there till today. John the Baptist stopped at the age of 30. He was called the greatest of everyone who ever lived until Jesus came. When he died not because he criticized the government, but because it was his time to go. He had just one assignment, to come and introduce Jesus Christ. And he did that successfully to prepare the people for Jesus to come and to introduce Jesus. He did that successfully and he left. I don't know why, but those days and sometimes in different parts of the world till now, God had this, I don't know, he derived this joy or in removing his ministers through funny methods like beheading. That's how all the disciples of Jesus, apart from John, that's how they went. All of them, apart from John, all of them went one way or the other. God could have protected them, but he just refused to. I mean, you know when he delivered Peter? He could have done it again, but just refused. And many times, he just decided to do that deliberately. And it's believed that exactly the same way Paul went. So it was not an accident when they would kill those men. It was never an accident. It was just that when their time was over, God said, what are the various choices? Okay, let him go by beheading. Let him go by crucifixion. Let him go by stoning. Different ways. So what about John? Let that one live. Let him live. Let him live. Let him live. And John lived and lived and lived and lived. And we just stopped hearing about him. We don't even know what happened to him. He trained men like Polycarp. The story is in our last magazine. And Polycarp was also burnt at the stake. But he knew he was going to be burnt. He stood for them calmly to burn him at the stake. But that's what happened to John. He left because God said, this is the time to go. And God chose that execution method. I don't know why he did, but that's what he did. But the ministry of Jesus took off after that and surpassed that of John the Baptist. I hope you are getting my point. So don't run your life like by somebody else's agenda. Moses began his ministry at the age of what? 80. But Joseph, who he came after, began his own at the age of 30. But who's the greatest of the two? Moses is the one that God had to go and hide his body. Otherwise, Israelites will worship him forever. It was the greatest of the two. All right? It was the greater one of the two. But he didn't start. In fact, he started ministry after he had given up. So please, when we're checking this destiny thing, don't compare your life with that of another person. You can't do that.
Don't compare your life. What you do is just face obeying the will of God on a daily basis, and it will take you to where He ordained for you to be. Let's get that one clear. So your destiny is His will. Now, we're talking about deciders of destiny. I feel like explaining something here. Now, there's something that Solomon said. Let's just read it. The book of Ecclesiastes. Just one line. I just feel like reading something. Chapter 7. Now, I just want to bring out something here. He said, "Behold, I have found only this, that God made men upright, but they have sought out many devices." Ecclesiastes chapter 7, that's verse 29 now. Verse 29, that's the last verse there. 29. That is, New Living Translation says, "They are each one turned to follow his own downward path." Now, what I want to bring out from there is this. Now, follow what I want to say. God has a plan for your life. God will take everybody to the place He planned for them to get to, if they will just follow Him on a day-to-day basis. And let me say that again. You cannot plan where your life will be. You can't plan where you will reach. The only thing you can do is to take life, one, season by season, and day by day. The word day sometimes is used to mean just one season. What I mean is that Jesus will say something like this: "Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Now, this is interpretation. A student who is in Nnamdi Azikiwe University here, God does not want him or her to worry himself or herself about what his life will be after NYSC. You are just in year 2. You are doing a 5-year course in your 2nd year and your 3rd year. God is saying, don't worry about it. What season are you in? You are in the season of being a student. So you are supposed to settle down, decide what are the jobs, the assignments for somebody in your season. Which means 8 o'clock every morning, you are in the lecture hall. Do you understand that? You are there regularly, you do your assignments, you get the best scores that you can in every subject you are doing. You are a student, you are a young person, a young Christian. Go to fellowship. Learn the word of God. Live righteously. Don't get involved in any of the iniquities of young people. Leave it there. NYSC, I will take you somewhere. After NYSC, you will start seeing events. Now, you can have desires. You can have desires. Most of you can have desires. You can have desires. What God does with desires is one of two things. One, He changes the desires or He fulfills them. That's what He does. For His children, there are times He just tell you that, look, this is not necessary. And He will tell you through experience. You just say, look, I wanted this thing before. I just realized I don't like it. The story I like to tell all the time to illustrate is that there's a particular car. I won't tell you the name so that I won't be spoiling somebody's market. I used to like the car a lot. Anytime I see the car, as it's driving past, I'll be looking and say, see moto. You know, as the car is driving by, I'll be licking my mouth. My wife will be laughing at me. There are times maybe the car is behind me in the traffic. I will gently shift so he can overtake. So I will not be following behind. I say, see moto. I'll be licking him out. Then one day, one of my seniors bought one. Ha, I saw him. Oh, God. You know, I shook his hand. Then one day he said that a boss jammed it in Holy Ghost in Enugu. God, why were you passing Holy Ghost? You should know. Nah, we're angry with him for allowing this our fine car to be jammed. Then one day I went for my alumni convention, and one of my brothers, he drove one in. I saw the car. I came out after one meeting. I said, who owns this car? They mentioned the brother's name. I said, go and call him. He had already gone to his room, the hotel we were using. So they said, Pastor Bank is calling you. So he came out thinking something important was going on. I said, this is your car. He said, yes. I said, where's the key? He got the key. Open it. I said, drive us around. He didn't know how to ask me that. Are you serious? This is why you called me out of my room at this time of the night. But he didn't say anything because, you know, you go respect your seniors now. He respected me. But what he did not know is that as he drove us around, just a few seconds around the premises, it was a big hotel, and he parked the car. I came down, and in my mind, I said, useless car. It was a good car, please, don't get me wrong. It's a nice car, but the impression of it I had, once I entered it for 1 minute, it was wiped out. I lost respect for it permanently. So all the while I was admiring it, the Lord was looking at me. He said, Vanki, you don't like it. But I did not know, because I had never been inside. So he gave me one to enter, so that I would stop praying nonsense prayers. The good cow, the owner likes it. I'm not saying it's a bad cow. But all the leaking mouth, I wipe my mouth. Come on, get away. I don't want you again. Truly, if I had the opportunity to buy one that time and I had the money, I wouldn't buy. God wiped out that desire. Boom. The ideas I had about ministry before, when I was young, it disappeared as I was growing up. So nothing wrong with having desires. God will correct them in his own time.
Yes.
That's the point I'm making. If we continue to walk with him faithfully and in righteousness. So nothing wrong with that. But what he expects us to do on a daily basis, live according to that season. So young people, he said, don't worry about it. Just read your book very well. Just read. Pass your exam. Be faithful. Learn. It's your season for learning. Not it's your season for running up and down looking for money. It's a season to learn. Are you getting my point here? So that's the season. If we follow him on a day-to-day basis, he will take us to where he planned. That's the point I'm making. Not where we planned. He has a plan greater than we can ever have. There was something I heard the vice president say a few days ago, about last week. People were talking about political office and all of that. He said, I was a card-carrying member of APC for 7 years without any political appointment. You know, he served, I don't know whether it was 7 years he said, but I think I remember seven, but the way we know it was supposed to be 8 years, actually. You know, he served under, Tinubu. And he didn't serve under Fashola. Fashola was governor for 8 years. He didn't have a federal appointment. But all the while, he was a card-carrying member of APC. The next time we heard his name, he was running mate for vice presidential, for the presidential office. Was he running mate? And of course, they won the election. You know the rest of the story. And currently, he is he's arguably the most trusted politician in Nigeria. He's one person that everybody respects. When they say he's a pastor, we all believe he's a pastor. Everybody believes he's a pastor. When they were cracking jokes, when he was coming to office, all the jokes made about him was about Bible, tracts. I remember that one, of these comedians, they showed him, whispering to him, he saw, God, I've seen the 3 Ghana Must Goes you gave us for me and the boys to share. We opened it, all we saw inside was Bible and tracts. How far? Because the government before, those 3 Ghana Must Goes would have been money. So we carried the guy hoping something would be inside. This is all you are giving for your boys? That's the joke about him. Nobody came to say he doesn't have certificate or he didn't do NYC. No, you didn't hear anything like that. Of course, he worked for a government institution before that, became a professor. You understand? So, I mean, he's a lawyer. And people try, and when they show his messages, things he said to people, tells young people, Farabale. How many of you saw that one? Yes, I take it easy. He said for a long time he didn't have a car, he didn't have a brand new car. I said, but then, this was before he became vice president. He said, there's no year he doesn't get at least one as a gift. That he can't even drive them. He gives them out. He said, take it easy. Now, the point I'm making is that I don't know whether God revealed anything to him, but God made him vice president without him planning it. One of the things about faith is that let's learn to trust God. What is going to happen tomorrow? Really, in my own life, I really don't know. I'm serious. I'm not joking. All I have is the assignment for today. When I finished my training in Lagos, and I was thinking, where will I go next? Where will I go next? Something in me just said that wherever you go next is where you will start teaching the word of God on a ministry basis. And when God led me through different methods to come to Enugu, many people didn't believe. When I came to Enugu to come and start working in the university there, the man that brought me, Professor Ike, did not believe I was going to stay. He didn't know who he was dealing with. Anyway, he thought I was an average person, not typical Nigerian. Young man, you know, you look very young, opportunities in front of you. This was year 2000, you understand? 18 years ago, exactly. I came, I think, September 1 or October 1. I think it was September 1, year 2000. That's when I arrived. One day I was in his house, I was in his office, we were just talking. He said, at least, why are you still around? I said, sir. He said, I know you will not stay. You know, we're just joking with me. I just smiled. In my mind, I said, you don't know who you are dealing with. You don't know. I had opportunities to leave, of course. I said, you don't know who you are dealing with. 18 years later, I'm still there. What many did not know was, as soon as I came, and this is where God says, start teaching the word from.
Shortly after that, I started teaching. I was writing tracts. I began to do things. They were rented a place, began to teach on a weekly basis. And from there, we went on radio. We now go around here and there, doing seminars. Most of our activity has been between River Niger here and the Atlantic on this side. Are you getting my point? Yeah, that's where most of it has been. We just keep going around, keep on going around. Why are you going around? I don't know. That's just the assignment for today. What will happen tomorrow? No idea. So what are you planning? I don't have any plans apart from what we are doing next. And what I mean by what we are doing is, ask my men, they are here, is, okay, where next are we doing seminar? How are we doing our ministry next? You know, like, what's the next thing? Just the next thing. We don't have the one after. Somebody say, okay, what about the Kingdom World study center you're talking about? I say, yes, it's a dream we have now, but that's the next thing. So we're supposed to work on that. It will start. Start writing Bible studies and sending here and there, people to be studying on their own and all of that. What will happen after? I don't know. I have no idea. And I'm not worried, most importantly. Yes. I'm not worried. I don't care. Really. Many of you come and give me testimonies. Ah, your words. That's what I enjoy. That's what I feed on. That's what I thrive on right now. I enjoy that one. I feed on it. That the one we are doing right now is blessing somebody. So when we're talking about destiny, listen, it's not human plan. I just want to understand that God will take us there. The problem, however, he always does that. The problem is what I want to talk about. And that's the main thing we're going to focus on. The problem is, do we allow him? Revealing the true enemies of destiny. You know, that's what we're talking about. Yes, sir. The true enemies. They are the things that will not allow God to take us to where he planned. If we tackle all of them, where we are going is automatic. I hope you're getting my point here. If we tackle all the enemies of destiny, where we are going is automatic. The enemy is not outside, though. The enemy is inside. Oh, I've not made that statement. Let me make it now. The enemy is not outside. Nigeria is not the enemy. The auntie is not the enemy. The uncle is not the enemy. The witches are not the enemy. They are not the enemies of destiny. Those who held my destiny, we pray prayers like the year that King Uzziah died. Isaiah saw the Lord. Today, your King Uzziah will die. And you start wondering, did Isaiah pray for King Uzziah to die before he saw the Lord? Are you saying that King Uzziah was the reason he didn't see the Lord? Or it was just coincidental that two of them happened at the same time? I believe that it was the date. Those days, they used to give dates according to major events. So they will say, the year that Willie Obiano became governor of Anambra State, we started our ministry. We did not need his becoming governor. It's just that it happened the same year. I hope you're getting my point. That's how they made references. And again, possibly, when God needed to change a new season, are you getting my point?